Listen to that hum. The fluorescent lights at this nursing station, they never quite stop buzzing, do they?
No, they don't. It's a relentless sound.
Yeah. I mean, it's 3 a.m. on the psychiatric ward, and we are once again working the night shift. So pull up a chair, resident. You're just in time for the clinical review.
Glad you can join us.
Out there, you know, beyond the reinforced glass, the titans of the commercial real estate industry are just pacing the halls. They're like blindly polishing their pro formas.
Right, those idealized fantasy spreadsheets.
Exactly. The ones where revenues only ever go up and, you know, friction just magically doesn't exist, they are totally oblivious to the cognitive decline happening right in front of them.
They genuinely think they're in a golden age.
Yeah, they think the math works out. But I mean, you and I know better. Tonight's deep dive is really focused on this widespread contagion ravaging the market. It's a disease of their own making.
It is a profound systemic delusion. I mean, you look at their charts, and the institutional amnesia is just staggering.
Staggering is the word.
They are looking at these financial projections, basically hallucinating massive returns and completely ignoring the reality of debt service cliffs or the decay of their underlying assets.
Right, they're just smiling at the wallpaper while the whole building burns down.
Exactly.
And the most disturbing part, we have a highly agitated patient newly admitted to the ward tonight. We're calling this patient the modern transactional ecosystem.
A very fitting name.
The sheer disconnect from reality out there is breathtaking. The market experts are cheering for parasitic revenue like it's organic growth, but we have one investigator, the chief of surgery, who is actually grounded in reality here.
Right. Priyanshu Adathakar.
Yeah, Pri is literally the only one in this entire asylum actually performing the autopsy on the deals everyone else is blindly celebrating.
Pri's clinical notes are the only reason we have a clear picture of this pathology, honestly. What the rest of the market just politely ignores,
Right.
meticulously dissects.
Right.
And the official medical term Pri has assigned to this epidemic is acute friction-induced atrophy.
Acute friction-induced atrophy. Wow.
Yeah. In macroeconomic circles, it's known as social drag. But in the vernacular of the ward here, we call it the annoyance economy.
The annoyance economy. Okay, let's unpack this patient's chart because we really need to move from the abstract delusion to the hard data.
We have to look at the vital signs.
Right. You can't treat a disease until you quantify the exact amount of damage it's doing to the host body. So let's drop the medical metaphor for just a second because I want the resident sitting here with us to understand the actual literal math behind this.
The math is brutal.
Like, what kind of financial damage are we actually talking about?
Well, the data here is grim. Supported by the Groundwork Collaborative's 2026 data, the macroeconomic patient is just bleeding out.
Bleeding out how fast?
We are looking at a hemorrhage of approximately $165 billion annually.
165 billion.
Annually. And to be clear, this isn't some slow, contained leak. It is a massive arterial spray of lost capital, lost productivity, and frankly, lost consumer energy.
Let that number sit in the room for a second. 165 billion. That is the literal cost of the annoyance economy. And Pri breaks this down into four distinct pillars of friction that are basically tearing the transactional ecosystem apart.
Yes, four main pillars.
Let's start with the first one.
Yeah.
Dark patterns in subscriptions. I look at this like a digital roach motel.
A roach motel, that's a good way to put it.
You know, you can check in anytime you like, but you can literally never leave.
Right, because it is a highly engineered trap. I mean, the onboarding process, the sign up is completely frictionless.
Oh, it's so easy.
It's a single click, a biometric scan of your face, and you are immediately subscribed. But the off-ramp,
Good luck with that.
the exit requires you to navigate this multi-page labyrinth of confusing buttons, or worse, you have to engage in a grueling 20-minute phone call with a retention
And
specialist.
their sole key performance indicator is to just break your spirit, right?
Right.
Just keep your credit card on file.
To exhaust you into staying.
Right, but how does this actually play out in commercial real estate? Because when people hear subscriptions, they think of like their streaming services or their gym memberships. They don't think of multi-million dollar property deals.
Well, in the CRE space, it manifests in the software and the data dependencies. So think of the massive property management platforms or the tenant background check APIs or those proprietary data feeds that brokerages rely on.
Okay, yeah.
A firm might sign up for a $10,000 a month data analytics package with a single digital signature. easy. But 2 years later, when they realize the data is totally useless and they want to cancel...
Let me guess. It's not a single click anymore.
Not at all. They suddenly find out the cancellation requires a 90-day written notice sent via certified mail to some shell company in Delaware. And if they miss that window by a single day...
Oh, man.
The contract auto-renews for another 12 months with a 15% price hike.
And as Prinelli knows the patient's chart, this isn't an accident.
Right?
This isn't just sloppy customer service or some clunky IT infrastructure.
No, it's by design.
It is a calculated feature of the system designed to wear down the user's willpower. Which leads directly into the second pillar, which is the junk fee malignancy.
Ah, yes. The junk fees.
Out of that $165 billion hemorrhage, junk fees account for nearly $90 billion alone.
Correct. $90 billion. And this is where the financial engineering becomes incredibly toxic. We are talking about surprise surcharges that provide absolutely no reciprocal value.
Like what?
You know, facility fees, convenience fees, service administration fees. In the CRE world, you see this baked right into the tenant experience and the vendor relationships.
So give me an example.
Say a landlord implements a digital portal for rent collection. It is entirely automated. There's no human touch. Yet they charge the tenant a $35 convenience fee every single month to use the portal.
While simultaneously refusing to accept physical checks, right?
Exactly. You have no other choice.
Wait, hold on. Let me just push back on that, because it sounds like a terrible long-term strategy. Mm. I mean, for the resident here, when these CRE guys talk about their IRR, their internal rate of return, that's basically the ultimate metric they use to convince their investors a deal is a home run, right?
Yes. IRR is everything to them.
Are you telling me they are inflating their IRR by nickel and diming tenants with fake $35 portal fees?
That is exactly what they're doing.
But doesn't that completely nuke your brand reputation? I mean, why would any tenant renew their lease if they feel like they're being actively extorted every single month?
Well, that is the exact delusion Pri's pointing out. They are inflating their IRR with fake fees, and they are absolutely nuking their long-term brand reputation.
It's insane.
But the institutional amnesia of the market is so profound that everyone, the vendors, the brokers, the asset managers, they just pretend these fees are normal.
They just accept it.
Right. They look at the short-term bump in cash flow, the revenue generated by these convenience fees, and they just call it yield.
Yield. Wow.
They completely ignore the downstream cost of tenant turnover, the marketing cost to find new tenants, the reputational damage. They treat a short-term extraction as a long-term strategy.
It's basically hallucinated math. I mean, they are slapping a convenience fee on an automated process where the convenience is entirely on the side of the corporation extracting the blood.
Precisely.
And that leads to the third structural issue, which Prize Notes label as administrative inflammation. We're talking about $21.6 billion in lost productivity.
Just vanishing into the ether.
Yeah, due to redundant paperwork, convoluted portals, endless hold times.
This is where you can almost physically measure the cortisol spikes in the transaction flow. Let's walk through a real-world scenario here.
Okay, let's hear it.
Imagine a firm is trying to close on a $50 million mid-rise office building. Time is of the essence, right? Interest rate locks are expiring.
Right, millions on the line.
But the title company uses a secure online portal that constantly crashes, or it puts the buyer in an endless password reset loop.
Ugh, the worst.
Then the environmental inspector's automated scheduling system just drops the appointment. And there is no human being you can call to fix it. Just a chatbot that keeps sending you links to an FAQ page.
Right, so a deal that should take 3 days to clear its final hurdles suddenly takes 3 weeks.
Exactly. The velocity of money just slows to a crawl.
The buyer is just sitting there, capital deployed, paying holding costs, while an AI chatbot cheerfully tells them their request is, you know, very important to us.
It is an autoimmune response where the system basically attacks its own efficiency.
Yeah.
The very tools that were supposed to streamline the industry, the portals, the automated customer service, the digitized workflows, they've been designed so poorly or with such aggressive cost-cutting measures that they actively obstruct the business they were meant to facilitate.
And finally, we have the constant low-grade fever of the market, the spam tax.
Yes, the spam tax.
The relentless barrage of robocalls, the automated SMS marketing, the phishing attempts, it just drains the mental energy of the market.
It's insidious because it fractures attention. I mean, a lead broker or an asset manager only has a finite amount of cognitive bandwidth.
Right.
When they spend 15% of their day just swatting away automated spam, filtering through junk emails from vendors using automated outbound marketing sequences, and verifying that an invoice isn't some sophisticated phishing scam.
They're just permanently distracted.
Exactly. They are degraded in their ability to engage in the high-level strategic thinking required to actually grow a portfolio.
So we've identified the symptoms here. The dark patterns keeping you trapped in contracts, the junk fees inflating the IRR, the administrative inflammation stalling the deals, and the spam tax destroying our focus.
All four pillars.
Which brings us to the most disturbing part of our night shift, the pathology of exhaustion. But why? Like, why hasn't the market's immune system fought this off?
That's the real question.
Why is the broader macroeconomic system deliberately infecting itself with this friction?
The morbid truth is honestly the simplest one. Friction pays.
Friction pays.
The fatal flaw in the modern market is that the so-called experts have completely lost touch with reality because they are addicted to the short-term high of parasitic revenue.
Wow.
It acts like a synthetic narcotic on a balance sheet. It bumps up the quarterly earnings, making the pro forma look fantastic while quietly eroding the structural integrity of the asset.
Okay, but I want to stop and really look at this because the numbers in this chart are staggering.
Yeah.
The data says that by simply making a cancellation process intentionally difficult, corporations are boosting their revenue by an astonishing 14 to 200%.
It's incredible.
Let me just repeat that for the resident. Up to a 200% increase in revenue. How on earth is that sustainable?
Yeah.
Like if I go to a restaurant and after the meal, they physically barricade the doors to make me buy a $30 slice of pie before I can leave. I am never, ever going back to that restaurant.
Right.
So how does the CRE industry, how does the macro economy get away with this?
Right.
Are we really just betting that people would rather give up their cash than jump through another burning hoop?
Yes. That is precisely the mechanism of action. And the clinical term for this is retention through exhaustion.
Retention through exhaustion.
Now, the reason your restaurant analogy doesn't perfectly hold up is because of market saturation.
What do you mean?
If every restaurant barricades the doors, where else are you going to eat?
Oh, right.
In the modern transactional ecosystem, there is literally nowhere else to go. Whether you are dealing with enterprise software, telecom providers, or corporate landlords, they have all mutually adopted this strategy. They aren't competing on service anymore.
They are competing on who can make leaving the most exhausting.
Exactly.
It's just a war of attrition, and the consumer is completely unarmed.
Well, what's clinically fascinating about this pathology is how it pairs with the second mechanism, the hoop strategy.
The hoop strategy.
This is applied heavily to refunds, rebates, and dispute resolutions. Let's say a tenant in a commercial space is owed a $50,000 tenant improvement allowance. You know, money the landlord legally agreed to reimburse for office renovations.
Right. Totally standard practice. The tenant builds out the office, sends the receipts, the landlord cuts a check.
In a healthy system, yes. But in the annoyance economy, the landlord introduces hoops.
Oops.
They require the receipts to be uploaded one by one to a specific legacy portal that only accepts incredibly small file sizes.
Oh, man. I've been there.
Then they require physical, notarized lien waivers to be mailed to a third-party auditor. And if a single signature is out of place, the entire package is rejected and the 60-day review clock starts all over again.
That is brutal.
The landlord knows that if they make the process painful enough, a certain percentage of tenants will miss a deadline, make a procedural error, or just simply run out of the administrative bandwidth to fight for it.
So by weaponizing fatigue, the landlord just keeps that capital safely in their own pockets.
Precisely.
Yeah. I mean, Pree's boots-on-the-ground diagnosis of this delusion is honestly the only reason we can even articulate this. Pree is out there looking at these spreadsheets and is the only one acknowledging that these aren't magic beans driving the revenue.
No, they're not.
The market is looking at a 200% retention bump from a broken cancellation portal and calling it customer loyalty. But Pree is looking at it and correctly diagnosing it as pure, unadulterated extortion of the user's will to live.
It is a profound category error. When a market confuses exhaustion for loyalty, the prognosis is universally grim.
Yeah.
They assume the consumer, the tenant, the transaction partner will just keep paying the convenience fees forever. They assume that cognitive bandwidth is an infinitely renewable resource.
But willpower isn't infinite. It's a battery.
Yeah.
And they are draining it to absolute zero.
Yes.
Okay, so we've mapped the pathology of the annoyance economy. the patient is deeply sick, basically hallucinating a golden age of returns while actually bleeding out $165 billion a year in lost productivity and trust.
Right.
So we turn now to the surgical recommendations. If you're listening to this, sitting with us at the nursing desk right now, how do you save your own portfolio from succumbing to this exact same cognitive decline?
The treatment.
Yeah, how do we actually treat this?
Well, PRE has developed a highly specific three-step clinical treatment plan for 2026 strategic resilience. If you want your portfolio to survive the social drag, you just have to operate differently than the rest of the market.
Okay.
Step one is what PRE calls the efficiency graft.
The efficiency graft. Like excision and replacement, how does that work in practice?
It means aggressively vetting your transaction partners and actively excising the ones that rely on friction.
So cutting them out entirely.
Yes. You have to keep your deal flow clean. If a vendor, a broker, or some software platform relies on the hoop strategy to maintain their margins, you have to recognize them as a structural liability. You cut them out.
And replace them.
Right. You replace them with partners who operate with absolute transparency. Zero dark patterns. Zero hidden facility fees. You basically prioritize transactional speed and clarity over the illusion of a slightly cheaper vendor who is just going to bleed your team's productivity dry with administrative inflammation.
So you quarantine your portfolio from the contagion. And that requires the second step, right? The clarity injection.
Yes, the clarity injection.
PRE talks about this as adopting a System 2 analytical approach. And for the resident, if you aren't familiar with behavioral economics, this goes back to Daniel Kahneman's work. System 1 thinking is fast, automatic, emotional.
The reflex.
Right. It's the Homer Simpson part of your brain that just clicks, accept terms and conditions to make the annoying pop-up go away so you can get back to work.
Exactly. And the entire annoyance economy is specifically designed to prey on that System 1 thinking. It relies on you moving too fast to read the fine print.
Right.
System 2, on the other hand, is the slow, deliberate, highly analytical brain. It is Spock.
Spock. Right. So PRE is saying we have to forcefully inject that slow, methodical, Spock-like scrutiny into the deal flow.
Yes.
You have to use the analytical brain to spot these dark patterns in service contracts before you sign them, before they mutate into these zombie expenses permanently attached to your balance sheet.
System 2 thinking is really the ultimate immune response here. It forces the market to slow down and acknowledge reality. It requires you to look past the top line IRR.
Right, because that number is often fake.
If a broker hands you a pro forma for a property, System 2 demands that you look at how that yield is being generated. If the yield relies on parasitic junk fees.
Like extracting an extra $50 a month from every tenant for automated trash collection.
Exactly. If it relies on that, then the yield is a fiction. It is fragile. Because the exact moment those tenants have an alternative, they will leave and your cash flow will just collapse.
Which brings us to PRE's final and maybe most vital surgical intervention. Willpower preservation.
Willpower preservation.
We have to realize, at a fundamental level, that constantly testing a client's willpower breeds a deadly systemic cynicism.
It does.
Like when every single interaction in your business is a trap, when every invoice has a hidden fee that requires a 20-minute phone call to dispute, you are slowly eroding the foundational trust of the relationship.
And trust is the actual currency of any transactional ecosystem. Once that trust is eroded by the annoyance economy, the market doesn't just slow down. It fractures.
It just breaks.
The social drag becomes so heavy that capital stops moving entirely. No one wants to do a deal because everyone assumes the other party is hiding a dark pattern in the paperwork somewhere.
Wow.
So willpower preservation isn't just some nice feel-good customer service goal. It is a critical macroeconomic imperative. If you exhaust your partners, you destroy your own market.
Like how PRE saw the symptoms before the family portfolio was traded away, it's honestly a masterclass in observation.
He really is.
While the rest of the market was just high on their own supply, cheering for this junk fee-driven IRR, PRE used this reverse psychology approach. PRE rejected the illusion.
PRE knew what was really happening.
PRE knew that if you don't reject the annoyance economy, entire portfolios literally die from a loss of public trust and the resulting collapse in transactional speed. I mean, you can't run a successful commercial real estate empire if every single person doing business with you feels like they just went 12 rounds at a boxing ring just to pay their rent.
No, you can't. It is the stark difference between treating the disease and actively feeding the tumor.
Right.
Pri chose to treat the disease, prioritizing long-term transactional health over short-term parasitic revenue.
Right.
And in doing so, Pri created the only viable blueprint for strategic resilience in a market that is otherwise just losing its mind.
Well, that's the clinical prognosis for tonight. The annoyance economy isn't just a nuisance. It isn't just a bad day on the phone with your internet provider or a glitchy portal at the title company.
No, it's much bigger than that.
It's a massive drag on global productivity. Basic interactions, the very lifeblood of commercial real estate and macroeconomics, have become a literal test of endurance. We are forcing the entire economy to run a marathon through deep mud and then wondering why the lap times are getting slower.
Well, as is customary on the ward, I am required to read the formal disclaimer for the record before we sign off.
Go for it.
Exposure to the annoyance economy causes acute cynicism, sudden productivity loss, and phantom pains in your convenience fee line items. Please note that Priyanshu Adathakar is a CRE and hotel investment advisor diagnosing the health of the market, not a consumer protection attorney.
Yeah, Price is surgeon of the deal, not a lawyer.
Indeed. But as we close this chart, I want to leave you, the resident, with one lingering diagnostic question to mull over as you finish out your night shift here.
What's the question?
We established that the entire modern economy is currently being propped up by the sheer engineered exhaustion of the consumer. The 200% retention bumps, the $90 billion in junk fees, it all relies on people being too tired to fight back.
Right.
But what happens to the market's vital signs on the day the consumer's willpower battery finally hits zero? What happens when they decide they are simply too tired to play the game at all?
Man, that's the flat line right there. That is the systemic collapse they are all ignoring. The digital roach motel only generates revenue if the roaches are still willing to walk through the front door.
Very true.
Consult your patience levels and your billing statements very, very carefully before you engage with the outside world tomorrow. Good luck out there on the ward. Keep your eyes open.